What's up, everyone? This is Sean Plott, aka Day 9, presenting today Relative Timings. Before I can go on about that, we just have to stop and jam out to this song for a bit. Oh god, it's so good. That is one of my all-time favorite songs. It's called Snowflake by Trent Moeller on his album The Last Resort, which you should all get, by the way, because it'll totally change your life. So speaking of changing lives, let's talk a little bit about the concept of relative timings in StarCraft. So in my last podcast, which was A New Look at Build Orders, I mentioned the notion of relative timings here and there, and I wanted to spend some time going into the concept in depth. So the idea behind relative timing is fairly simple. Relative timing is the idea of making a unit or building or upgrade based on the progress of some other unit or building or upgrade, not using the food in the top right corner. The classic example of this is lurkers. If I want to get lurkers as quickly as possible, I should get my Hydralisk Den and my lair to finish at the exact same time. This timing's really well known. You just make your Hydralisk Den when your lair is exactly halfway finished, and both will finish simultaneously so you can start that lurker upgrade right away. Another classic example is with Reavers. You start building your robotic support bay when your shuttle is halfway finished. That way the shuttle finishes right when the robo bay finishes and you can start both simultaneously. So now that we know what we're talking about, the most important question is, why is this concept useful? And the idea is we always in StarCraft want to squeeze out as much efficiency as possible. Technically, it doesn't really matter if your Robo Bay finishes a little bit early because you'll still be making the Reaver right when the shuttle finishes, but in a game like StarCraft where it's so intense and how you use resources is so important, why not figure out these timings? Because if you made that Robo Bay too early, you might end up with a slightly later pylon, or you may not have been able to squeeze in an extra Dragoon or an extra Probe even. And being able to do little things like that throughout an entire game adds up tremendously. In general, there are three situations in which relative timing is useful. The first is if you get thrown off early, or thrown off your build. The second one is for decisions you'll be making in late game. And the third one is for organization, for things like macro. So let's go through each of those with some examples and stuff. So let's begin with getting thrown off your build order. Suppose for a moment that you're playing a Zerg vs. Terran and you want to be going lurkers in the mid-game. If you get bunker rushed early on, you're going to be using a lot of drones to hold that off, and you might lose a lot or a little, or you might have to make a bunch of extra lings, and you'll end up in a sort of unfamiliar circumstance. But if you remember your standard lurker timing, you simply make your den when your lair is halfway finished, both finish at the same time, and given the circumstances, you're still getting lurkers as fast as possible. So this example might seem pretty obvious, because you start the Hydralisk Den and the lair at such a close time to each other that it's kind of hard to mess up. However, this example highlights the key idea of relative timing, which is that you want to do one thing that requires multiple other things. So relative timing is figuring out how to get all those other things to line up. So a great example of relative timing and its power is in the old school Protoss vs. Zerg style. And in old school Protoss vs. Zergs, Protosses would early expand, and rather than go for Corsairs, they would spend their first 100 gas getting a +1 attack upgrade, and then they would go straight for Zealot with leg speed. And they would get 4 gateways, and they would come out right when +1 finished, and Zealot leg speed finished, and they both finish at the same time, and they'd have about 15 to 20 Zealots. And that was a huge issue for a lot of Zergs to deal with. But the problem is that a lot of Zergs were really aggressive early on. Some of them would try to do 2 or 3 hatch Ling all-ins, some of them would 9 pool. And a lot of these Protoss players who were doing this build order would get screwed up. And I would watch a lot of replays against my opponents and see this sort of thing happen, where I would make a whole bunch of Zerglings early, and then once they got on their feet, they would start their +1 attack upgrade too early. So it would finish, and they wouldn't have leg speed done, or they wouldn't have that many zealots. In a really funny example, one guy got the zealot leg speed really fast and the plus one attack upgrade really fast, but he only had 4 zealots when he came out to attack, and it was totally not a problem to deal with. So in that example, the Protoss was going for zealot leg speed, the plus one attack upgrade, and having a lot of zealots. Those were the 3 key pieces to that attack. So, regardless of what happened early game, whether he got to early expand normally or he got 9 pool or something like that, he should know when to start the cybernetics core relative to when he started the plus one attack upgrade, so that he can get zealot leg speed and a whole bunch of gateways and have everything finish right on time. Relative timing is also very useful in the late game, when there is some action you'll be doing very often in a lot of your games, but when you do that action is highly variable. So a great example is getting Arbiters in Protoss vs. Terran. A lot of times, it's up to the Protoss's judgment when he feels comfortable getting Arbiters. So we're not going to talk about when is right or wrong to do that, but what's important is that once you have decided to get Arbiters, how do you go about getting it in the most efficient way possible? Surprisingly, not many Protosses have this number stored in the back of their head. They generally just make the Stargate and the Templar Archives at the same time, and then when both are finished, they start an Arbiter Tribunal. Technically, you should be making a Templar Archive when the Stargate is at about 1/5 or 1/4 completion. That's when they will both finish at about the same time. All this really means that Protoss should do is make the Stargate before he makes the Templar Archives by just a little bit. And what's very useful is that, especially late game, you'll be able to get just maybe 1 or 2 extra units in by making sure you line those up in the timing I just said. And again, stuff like that might seem inconsequential, but it definitely adds up over time if you know a lot of little relative timings. So still in regards to late game, relative timing is great for little tactics, such as storm dropping. So suppose you're a Protoss player, you have the robotics facility finished, you have your Templar archives done, but you don't have Templar, Storm, or a shuttle. When should you research those 3 things relative to one another so that you can storm drop in the most efficient way possible? So theoretically, that would mean that right as your shuttle unloads the Templar, or shortly before that, is right when your storm finishes. Now we're talking about something that is a little bit more clearly useful. It's really great if you're a Protoss player and you don't have to waste the 200 gas upgrading storm, if you can delay it as long as possible to build other units that you will need for defense. The third really powerful application of relative timing is organization. So let's say you're a Terran player and you're macroing out of a whole bunch of factories. You optimally want all your factories finishing units at the same time. So let's say you have 4 factories making vultures. You want all the vultures to pop at the same time, so you only have to go back once to those factories and hit V 4 times to build those vultures. A lot of Terran players will have factories that kind of have a stuttered production, and they'll end up with units queued, and that's really, really bad to have units queued at your factory. That you're essentially wasting money that you could have been using elsewhere. So they might have 3 factories where the vulture finishes at the same time, and then 1 factory that's a little bit delayed, so it has a vulture queued at all points in time. That's really, really bad. So how do we use relative timing to avoid that? Naturally, we're going to be doing it in the exact same way we did before. Suppose I already have 2 factories, and I want to make 3 more. When should I start factories 3, 4, and 5 so that they finish right when factories 1 and 2 have completed making whatever units they were making? Now I have 5 factories making nothing, and I can start units in all those 5 factories at exactly the same time. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, oh, well, that's a handy thing to think about, but I need to emphasize how crucial it is that your organization of your gateways and factories is really, really good, because if it's not, you won't even be shooting yourself in the foot. You'll be shooting yourself in the face for the whole game. Because there's a lot of players out there who are really good at saying, it seems like a good time to add on more factories and gateways. And they'll just immediately start building them without any thought as to whether it's appropriately timed. As a result, when all the gateways and factories finished, they have this stuttered, slightly off production in all their unit-making structures. And as a result, they'll have maybe 3-4 units queued up all over the place. And if you think about that, that's probably 400 to 500, maybe even 600 minerals that are just sitting queued doing nothing. That's like an expansion. That's four cannons. That's a big deal. So definitely make sure you get those relative timings set up right so that you can have really smooth macro that will not only save you money, but make macroing way, way easier. So that will naturally improve as well. So in your own gameplay, try to think of as many little situations where you could try to get things to line up in a relative manner, so that way you don't have to rely so much on the food in the top right corner, which will allow you to play dynamic variable games a lot more effectively than you used to be able to. So let's just finish by asking a whole bunch of questions, like a whole bunch of little brain teasers for each race, as motivation to figure out these sorts of timings. Let's begin with Zerg. Suppose you're playing a Zerg versus Terran, and you're wondering how you can get defilers out before your opponent's first push gets to your base. The question you'd be asking is, when should I start my Queen's Nest to get Hive and Defilers, relative to when my Terran opponent starts his factory, which will allow him to get science vessels? Answering that question will allow you to get Defilers before your Terran opponent's first push. Let's say you're playing a Zerg versus Protoss. You want to have your Spire with Scourge out before your Protoss opponent has Corsairs killing all your overlords. When should you start upgrading to a layer relative to the progress of your opponent's cybernetics core, or even relative to the progress of his gateway, so that you can get the Spire out to block the Corsair? Let's say you're playing Zerg versus Zerg, and you're really tired of losing overlords all the time when your opponent's Spire finishes and he gets Mutalisks. So here's a question you ask yourself. When my opponent starts his Spire, how many hit points does the Spire gain relative to how far my Overlord moves? That is, if you figure something out like, oh, if my Overlord moves this far for the amount of time it takes for a Spire to build, I know around the time his Spire is finishing based upon how far my Overlord has run away from his base. Let's say we're playing Terran versus Zerg. We want to make sure that we push out before our opponent gets Defilers. We want to hit him at this crucial time when he feels weak. Again, in the reverse sense, how far long should your factory be relative to your opponent getting Hive so that you know your first push doesn't have to deal with Defilers? This would allow a Terran player to compose his army appropriately. If he doesn't see a Queen's Nest anywhere in sight, he knows the Zerg is going to be trying to use a mass number of units to kill off his army, as opposed to some cute Defiler tech. Suppose you're a Terran player against a Protoss player, and on Destination you want to early expand with some tanks, but then you immediately want to get a dropship and harass with Vultures that have speed and mines. You need to make sure you have enough tanks so that you're safe from whatever he's doing early on, but you also need to start making Vultures and that starport really fast so you can have a really early harass as well. So you should say, when do I start making the starport and getting all those Vultures relative to when I stop making tanks? So now by answering this question, we are both safe and harassing as quickly as possible. So last, suppose you're a Protoss player against a Terran, and you're having trouble against the timing of a fast +2/+1 push. So naturally, you'll be able to get an Observer into his base early, so you will know that this is coming pretty far in advance, but you really want to know exactly when his first attack is going to come. Well, you should ask yourself, how many minerals do I mine in my main relative to when he starts his first +1 attack upgrade? So for instance, if you find out it takes 1,200 minerals mined for him to get +2/+1 from the start of his first upgrade, you'll be able to plan accordingly. You'll be able to click on the minerals in your main and constantly see how close you are to him getting +2/+1. So that about wraps up all the different sorts of examples I could think of, so hopefully this is going to be an easy enough thing to incorporate into your own play so you can squeeze out as much efficiency as possible. Best of luck, everyone. Cheers!